This week's Parsha begins with Moshe recalling a dramatic moment in his life. Ve'etchanan el Hashem ba'etahi lemor, and I pleaded with the Eternal One at that time, saying, E'ebrana ve'ere ta'aretz tova, let me please cross over and see that good land on the other side of the Jordan, that good hill country and the Lebanon. Moshe is hoping for a reversal of the punishment he received in Parshat Chukat. Ya'an lo hemantem bi lakdi sheni, because you did not trust me enough to affirm my sanctity in the sight of the children of Israel. Therefore, you shall not lead this congregation into the land that I have given them. It is surely a devastating punishment. Moshe, the greatest of all the prophets, who led the people out of Egypt and worked tirelessly for 40 years to bring them to the Promised Land, will not be allowed to enter it himself. Yet Moshe does not utter a word of protest when the punishment is issued. It's only now, here in Parshat Va'etchanan, that we learn that Moshe pleaded to be allowed into the land. But Moshe is reporting something that happened sometime in the past, at that time. At one point between Parshat Chukat and Moshe's final speech, Moshe made his plea. But when was this? When does at that time Ba'etahi refer to? If we turn back to the final lines in last week's Parsha, Parshat Dvarim, we see that Moshe's narration in Parshat Va'etchanan picks up immediately after a conversation he had with Yehoshua, which he also marks as happening at that time. Ve'et Yehoshua tziveti ba'etahi. I also charged Yehoshua at that time, saying, you have seen with your own eyes all that your eternal God has done to these two kings. So shall the Eternal do to all the kingdoms into which you shall cross over. Do not fear them, for the Eternal your God will do battle for you. There's that phrase again, ba'etahi. So, when did this happen? The Chizkuni makes the connection for us. Hainu diktiv b'parshat Pinchas, v'yismoch yadav alav v'yitzavehu. This is what was written in Parshat Pinchas, and Moshe placed his hands on Yehoshua's head and charged him. In other words, at that time is the very moment that Moshe officially appointed Yehoshua as the leader who would succeed him. Moshe had asked God directly to appoint someone over the community so that they not become like sheep with no shepherd. It was at that time, Ba'etahi, when the consequences of Moshe's punishment had come into focus for him, that Moshe pleaded to enter the land, at the very moment when he transferred the future authority of leadership over to Yehoshua. A midrash in Devarim Rabbah makes precisely this linguistic connection and gives a parable to explain its meaning. To what is the matter comparable? To a governor who, during his tenure, would issue decrees and the king would fulfill them. He would redeem whom he wanted and imprison whom he wanted. When he was replaced and another was appointed in his stead, he began asking the gatekeeper to enter, but the gatekeeper would not let him in. So Moshe, all the days of his tenure, he would imprison whom he wanted. As it is stated, they and everything that was theirs descended alive into the abyss. When he was replaced and Yehoshua was appointed in his stead, as it is stated, take for yourself Yehoshua bin Nun, he began pleading to enter the land. The Holy Blessed One said to him, Rav lach, it is enough for you. The Midrash is calling back to the moment of Korach's rebellion, and by doing so, highlights the nature of Moshe's authority during his long life. Moshe responded to that rebellion by calling for the ground to open up its mouth and swallow them. As far as we can tell from the account, this was Moshe's own idea, not something that God had commanded. When God then fulfills Moshe's demand, Vatiftach ha'aretz et piha, the land opened its mouth. Moshe had total control over the land. He was like a governor whose decree was always upheld by the king. How ironic, and perhaps intentional, measure for measure, that Moshe later loses the power to enter ha'aretz, the land. But the connection to Parshat Korach is even more illuminating. The Midrash ends with God's response to Moshe's request, Rav lach, it is enough for you. But with the Korach story now in mind, We are reminded that this was the language that Korach and his group used to challenge Moshe's authority. V'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron v'yomru aleihem rav lechem. They gathered against Moshe and Aaron and said to them, "It is enough for you." It is also the language with which Moshe rebukes Korach and the Levites who have sided with him, reminding them that they have already been given sacred status, with access to the Mikdash. Rav lechem b'nei Levi. It is enough for you, sons of Levi. God's Rav lach response to Moshe in our parsha, then, is a way of reminding him of the great authority that he was given, an authority enforced by God even when it was challenged. The phrase also reminds Moshe, through words that he himself had spoken, of the way that those who have been given great privileges sometimes cannot help but seek even more. Did Moshe fall prey to that temptation that power breeds? Did he become so presumptuous that he thought he could ask God for anything, even to take back God's own decree? Is that why God became so cross with him? There is another way to read Moshe's making his plea, Be'etahi, at that time, which is that it was directly connected to his transfer of power to Yahushua. This was not a decision suddenly imposed on him by God, after all, but a request that Moshe had made that God find his replacement. Moshe was not attempting to hold on to power, but to give it away. And perhaps this is the very reason why it occurred to Moshe to ask if he could be allowed to cross over into the land. For if we turn back to the original wording of Moshe's punishment, we find that God did not say explicitly that Moshe could not enter the land at all. Rather, God says, Lo taviu et ha-kahal hazeh el ha-aretz asher natati lahem. You will not bring this congregation into the land I have given them. Moshe will not be entering the land as the leader of the people, that much is clear. But if he is no longer the one bringing the congregation in, he thinks, perhaps he can still cross over with them, or even alone, as a private citizen. Moshe willingly surrendered his authority, and then wondered if he could just fade back into the crowd and be forgotten. No longer Moshe Rabbeinu, but just one of the many children of Israel crossing over in search of a new beginning. Considering that version of the Ve'etchanan plea, we might also soften our reading of God's response. Rav lach, not it is enough for you, but you are enough. You have led a life of such profound meaning and service, nothing else could possibly add to it. You have done your part, and you will always be remembered for it. We might even say, in the spirit of Midrashic reading, that God was cross with Moshe because Moshe, in his extreme humility, wanted to do away with his title and his legacy. God thus responds by saying, Rav lach, you are still a Rav. You will always be the Rav, the teacher of these people. That title endures. For you have given them something even greater than the land. You have given them Torah, and that will guide their way when they come into the land, and it will keep them attached to God even when they are forced to leave the land. Still, Moshe must have been heartbroken not to achieve his dream of entering into that good land. And so he begins this week's parsha by remembering the desperation of his plea and the terrible finality of God's reply. We ache for our teacher when we read these words of loss. And even so, he remains forever Rabbeinu, our greatest teacher. The opening of Parshat Ve'etchanan can thus serve both as a warning to us all, not to seek more power or privilege than is our due, but also as a reminder to honor our life's accomplishments, and even to acknowledge, every one of us, our own greatness. Rav lechem, Bnei Yisrael.